This is Hot Tech with Jan Vermeulen.
Jan, how are you doing today?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm shocked and amazed by the news coming out of the States of attacks on departments that are actually charged with trying to prevent cyber attacks. Tell us a little bit more about what's going on.
Sure. There was a major cyber attack on a company that actually is used widely in the United States government. Looking at the Twitter feed of the Reuters journalist who reported on this, we're just in the beginning of the story. It's a much bigger issue than the I want to say the lack of hype around the story seems to suggest. There doesn't seem to be quite a lot of buzz around this story, except in information security circles. I could be wrong, but that's my experience of it. And it's almost like people have gotten to the stage where they go, oh, it's another hack, it's another cyber attack, it's no big deal. But from the sounds of it, this is a huge deal, and it impacts across the United States government, like everything from the Department of Treasury to Homeland Security has been affected by this attack. And I guess part of it is, that we're heading into the silly season. People are winding down, getting ready for their vacations. And so, we know that there's not a lot of eyes on the news at the moment, but this is a huge story. And I'm sure we've not heard the end of this. The last I heard, NPR is running a report that, Russian hackers working for the Kremlin are believed to be behind the attack on the United States. They reportedly broke into the email systems at government departments, but the full extent of the breach is not immediately clear yet. So that's the part of the story that's going to be developing, is figuring out just how deep whoever attacked the United States got.
We always knew that there was going to be a war in cyberspace, and after going through Y2K in 1999-2000, anticipating the worst, one would expect more effort would be spent by the US authorities in ensuring that they're safe from cyberspace. So maybe, and this is just a bit of tongue in cheek, the president should have looked more at a cyberspace force rather than a space force. Tell us more about this new product from DStv, this Amazon Prime.
Yeah, geez, if we, two polar opposite stories, here, from information security to, entertainment, video entertainment. But yes, I think it's important to keep up to date, with, how the local space is evolving there. But besides the fact that I'm sure that there are people listening, who, want to know what's going to be happening with their DStv. But yeah, DStv has launched Amazon Prime Video on its Explorer Ultra decoder, sort of taking yet another step forward in becoming the ultimate aggregator, with DStv making no secret of the fact that it wants to be a one-stop shop. So not only will you go to DStv for HBO shows and Super Sport and BBC and all that stuff, but you'll also be getting Netflix and now Amazon Prime Video right on the same platform that you get all your other video entertainment through. And so, yeah, this is another step along that strategy that we've spoken about on the show quite a while. And so I thought it was important to bring folks an update. And
Jan, I have to ask, do we need to get new decoders?
No, so this is specifically on the Explorer Ultra. So it's on their new decoder. I'm not sure that these features are going to be rolling out onto their older decoders. So we'll see what DStv ends up, bringing to the party here. If they're just testing it out on the Explorer Ultra first, and then sort of will bring it to its wider install base in future. You can see MultiChoice's strategy here to become more of a video on demand aggregating player, which is, you know, not that different from what they were doing before, that, you know, they were just buying content from, say, Nickelodeon and Discovery and the History Channel and sort of all, packaging it all up in the bouquets that we used to buy from them. But, you know, this puts them in pretty much the same ballpark, the same competitive area as Apple with Apple TV. And so, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they can hold their own against the wave of international competitors that are entering the South African video entertainment space.
So, yeah, and something that intrigues me, and it's something I'm very involved in on a day-to-day basis, is, of course, information security from a investigation perspective. And I believe that a new super regulator for communications and internet is being launched in South Africa. Can you tell us a little bit about this new super regulator?
Sure. This is an idea that's been on the table for a while, but it just didn't seem like the political will was there to do it. Partly because I expect it would come with job losses. We'll see whether, you know, this merging the regulators into one super regulator will indeed yield efficiencies, or if everybody's just going to keep their jobs and it'll just be under one umbrella. But yeah, the Minister of Communications and Digital Technology, Stella Ndebele-Abrahams, has announced that they want to merge a couple of state-owned enterprises and regulators. The SOEs that they want to merge are Sentech, the wireless signal distributor, which is used by the SABC and radio stations all around the country, with Broadband Infraco, which is a fiber backhaul provider here in South Africa, with a lot of government-owned fiber assets under them. And so they want to merge them into one company, potentially to secure the future of both, because neither entity is necessarily doing particularly well. Sentech's business is being eaten by the internet. You know, the fact is that the SABC and MultiChoice are not going to be requiring Sentech services for very much longer if, you know, if you look at the trends towards streaming video. And so that merger, you know, is to, I think, ensure that they both stay relevant. Broadband Infraco has also been mired in problems. And, then the super regulator we're talking about is the ZADNA, ZADNA, which looks after the .za namespace. That's, you know, all the .co.za domains, org.za, that we see. And the Film and Publications Board, the entity that's supposed to be responsible for giving, films, videos, games, and such their age restrictions, but, you know, who have had all kinds of designs on regulating and policing internet content. And then ICASA, the sector regulator for communications technology. You know, the ICASA is the body that gives you your operating license, basically, if you want to be a telecommunications provider in the country or a broadcaster. So if you want to be a radio station like High FM, you need a license from ICASA. If you want to broadcast on particular spectrum, you need a license from ICASA. So all these regulators, well, particularly the Film Publications Board and ICASA, you know, entities that answer to both those regulators sometimes. So there is some interaction between them, but the idea here is to merge them into one, as we call, super regulator, rather than having three separate bodies handling these functions. Sure. I don't know how wise a move that is. I mean, there's so much wastage in government. So from that perspective, you know, if we're talking about people actually losing their jobs and saving some money out of Treasury, there's some serious belt tightening in South Africa's future after this year and the hit we've taken to the country's income. And so this, you know, might be a step in that direction. It, as I said, it's going to mean people will lose their jobs, you know, to make these functions more efficient. But I have serious worries about having a body like the Film and Publications Board, which has all kinds of censorship, clouds hanging over it, you know, being thrown together with ICASA, which has tremendous power, in terms of what is allowed to operate and not allowed to operate in South Africa. And so, you know, if these two entities become one rather than sort of balancing, you know, like in my head, I see ICASA and the industry it represents kicking back against the sort of more censorious tendencies coming from the likes of the Film and Publications Board, and there being a kind of equilibrium of antagonism well, between the two.
You've brought us up to date. There's so much happening out there. And for our listeners, you need to visit mybroadband.co.za. There's other stories that are of interest today. MTN hits back at battery thieves in South Africa, as well as Vodacom launching its 5G network in KwaZulu-Natal. That was Jan Vermeulen with Hot Tech, and we look forward to chatting to him again very soon.
Hi FM, your station of choice since 2008.